Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Des Bishop Podcast. Greetings from Calgary, Alberta, where I am sitting in a hotel. Relieved that I got the editing done, and relieved actually that in the end I recorded too much stuff. So I actually have two podcasts worth of stuff. But first up is today's podcast, which is entitled "Do I Have an Anxiety Disorder?" I was supposed to have a chat with someone this week, and then it just through a series of situations, it hasn't happened. So 2 days ago, I said, okay, I'll do another one on my own and I'll just talk about anxiety because it's a term that I hear a lot nowadays. And, you know, it wasn't a term that really was floating around much when I was a child. And in recent times, I've questioned whether I struggle with anxiety. So it's basically just me musing about whether I do or not. And the reason why I over-recorded more stuff was because I was still in New York yesterday. I'd already recorded the stuff about anxiety and I second-guessed myself. And I was like, nah, I'm not putting that up because I felt like it was like too meandering and too, well, maybe partially too honest. I was like, you know, I was doing the sort of, I was censoring myself even though I hadn't listened back. But I was like, ah, I don't know if I want to put that up, you know? So anyway, in the meantime, I recorded two other stories. Well, one main story about how when I was flying here to Calgary, I was sitting next to a Mennonite woman, which was very interesting. So I recorded that, and then I went back to edit the anxiety thing, and I was like, wait a minute, this is I'm putting this up. And I'm not putting it up with the Mennonite story because it's just no need. So this episode is entitled, "Do I Have an Anxiety Disorder?" It's a very free-flowing stream of consciousness, unconfident look at my own mind, relationship with anxiety, a little bit look back on my childhood. It's incomplete. It doesn't claim to be a definitive look at myself, but it is what it is. I hope you guys get something from it. I guess it's in the vein of sharing, you know, and you guys are in the meeting with me. So thanks for listening. Let me know what you think afterwards. And then the story about meeting this Mennonite woman, I'm going to put up as a bonus podcast on Monday. So this is today's podcast. And then I'll put up a mini sort of episode on Monday about my experience of meeting a Mennonite. The first Mennonite I've ever met in my life, actually. You can look up Mennonites in the meantime for those that don't know. And look out for that, and I hope you enjoy this podcast, and please engage. You know, I mean, you can make, I prefer if you didn't make judgments, but if you want to make judgments, fine. I'm not totally looking for answers. I'm just looking for people to take what they get from it and leave the rest, you know. Thank you so much for being here. We have not completely abandoned interviews, by the way, so there will be more interviews, but for now, this is me from 2 days ago chatting about what I said I was chatting about. Thanks. Once again, I'm sitting in the parking lot of Alley Pond Park, which is in Oakland Gardens, in the broader Bayside area of Queens, New York. Coincidentally enough, not that it has anything to do with why I'm here, it is the park where I used to run track when I was a child for St. Kevin's, my primary school, my grammar school, my elementary school, depending on where you're from. In fact, I'm sitting looking at the sort of beginning area where the races used to start and where I'd always be out of breath by the time the first section was finished before I got my second wind. And, you know, sadly, it always makes me think of Warren Scullion, who was our trainer, a lovely guy. He, his wife, or his father-in-law, I guess, his father-in-law traveled to America with my grandfather, John O'Hare. They were both County Down men. I don't know his wife's maiden name, but anyway, Mr. Scullion was a great guy, and his family are a great family, but unfortunately he died on September 11th, 2001. And I always think of him when I'm in this park, and I'm jogging away, thinking about how I wasn't great at track and field, but he was a great guy. Anyway, you know, I have been sort of, I don't want to say obsessed, but I have really been a keen observer to the prevalence of the word anxiety and anxiety disorder and all these things. And, you know, the more I hear people talk about anxiety, because, I never saw myself as an anxiety, somebody who suffers from anxiety, but I also, well, I personally think I grew up at a time where, you know, that term wasn't really bandied about. And, you know, the more I hear about, you know, the way people describe their anxiety disorder, I go, well, that sounds like my whole life. But of course, I'm not entirely convinced, but I just assumed that that was just part of life, that sometimes you're stressed out. Anyway, needless to say, I don't have an opinion on what is anxiety disorder or anything. I just think I've suffered from like what is being called anxiety nowadays for like a good portion of my life. So let me backtrack why I wanted to talk about this, because like I can sometimes find it like paralyzing, you know. When I was younger, you know, I mean, listen, I'm not complaining about my childhood here on the podcast, but you know, I guess there was like high levels of stress. For children, there was high levels of stress in our house, probably unnecessary. But anyway, I remember when I first stopped drinking, you know, and you really have to think about looking back on your drinking and stuff. The one thing that stands out to me was I took my first drink when I was 12, you know, and I took my first drink when I was 12, but I also probably got drunk the first time when I was 12. And I don't have that many memories of that first time being drunk, but I remember saying to somebody when I first stopped drinking, the one overriding feeling that I take or that I remember from it is finally feeling like everything was going to be all right. And finally just not being like stressed, you know? And, you know, one of the things that I really took from not drinking for a while, or certainly like being in a world where you would like look at yourself and look at your behavior and try to find a bit of inner peace, you know, which I was militant about in those early years of not drinking. One of the things that I really took from that was that I wasn't as anxious all the time. You know, in other words, I didn't walk around with this sense of something's wrong, you know? And so that was the thing that I could not put my finger on throughout my whole childhood. But I did not have anybody standing there saying, that's anxiety, you know? And I hear like my little cousin, you know, she talks about having anxiety, and I think, I mean, I can't even say whether it's good or bad that there's a label for it, but I mean, and I can't even say if it's just human or not, but I think I would have liked the term, and I would have liked to have been able to turn to somebody and say, yo, are you always thinking something's wrong? You know, because I think maybe that would have helped me if somebody went, actually, no, you know, like, actually, nah, most of the time I feel like everything's going to be all right. Yeah, I get stressed about tests and, you know, all that type of stuff. But yeah, just in general, you know, I don't wake up in the morning worried. So, You know. So when I was thinking about doing this on the podcast, I was like, oh, maybe I should talk a little bit about what I, you know, my revisionist history of my childhood. That I, you know, I literally woke up a lot of mornings feeling like, fuck, something's bad is going on, you know? And, you know, I used to go to school. I used to wake up pretty much, well, I used to go to school a lot of mornings, like with a sick stomach. And, you know, I used to eat a lot of Raisin Bran. And Raisin Bran, obviously, is a lot of fiber. And I used to think it was the Raisin Bran, but in actual fact, I felt sick before I ate the Raisin Bran. Now, the Raisin Bran brought some other stresses, like I used to run home from school every day because I was literally dying to have a shit every day, and because everybody in school said that the bathrooms in school would give you the cooties, I was like too embarrassed to take a shit in the bathroom of St. Kevin's, which in itself is fucking ridiculous, but that's kids. I'm not going to equate that with anxiety or stress or whatever other overactive mind thinking that was going on. But I was too embarrassed to take a shit in the unless it was an absolute emergency. And in fact, it was so stupid. I can remember... I can even see the green doors of the bathrooms in St. Kevin's, but I can't even remember like the odd time I had to take a shit. I just remember thinking like, please God, don't let anybody see me taking a shit. I mean, can you imagine the embarrassment of somebody knowing that you're having a shit in the St. Kevin's bathroom? You know, it's always a funny memory of mine where I would be like holding it in all day because I didn't want to get the cooties. And I remember in like when the summers would hit, or like early the September weeks in New York, or like the June classes, it would be so hot, you know, no air conditioning, obviously, in St. Kevin's, and then it would be so hot, and I'd be like running home in my polyester uniform, just like clenching, like dying to have a shit because I'm so full of Raisin Bran, and then I would like run home, run up the stairs. My mother would be like, "You okay?" I was like, ah, 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 ah. And I'd get to the bathroom, and I'd be so sweaty that I would literally like almost like fall through the toilet, like literally just like so humid, so New York, just like nearly slide into the toilet. But the relief, Jesus, the relief! And I can still see the 1970s. Stylings of our bathroom and the relief that I would have sitting there at approximately 2:52 p.m. after running home from St. Kevin's. The other memory I have is that we used to have those horrible cushioned seats, you know, that you'd have to change like every year. But when you sat on them, it sounded like you farted. So you'd like sit down and like... And then they would always crack within like 6 months, and then like you get like a paper cut on your ass from the terrible cushioned toilet seat, and you never see them anymore. That was like a fad. That was like a thing that is like well gone from our society. This thought that we needed a cushioned toilet seat. I guess we've replaced it with incredibly thick and fluffy toilet paper, which is like a fucking duvet on your ass, which I feel like is kind of a waste. But let me stop talking about that and get back to what we're talking about. So anyway, I went to school a lot with this sense of like, fuck, you know, what's going to happen today. Now, I also have to say that I used to get in trouble all the time, you know. So it's hard to say that, you know, I just had anxiety or, you know, I had like some other shit going on, but I was always in trouble. You know, there was always some fucking problem or some note coming home or now it wasn't mega trouble, you know, and I wasn't a terrible student, but, you know, no surprise. I love fucking around. I love making people laugh. And, you know, so I was in trouble a lot. So sometimes the foreboding was because, oh, God, you know, I didn't do my homework right or whatever. You know, listen, I get it. Some of it's just like everyday life shit. But I'm starting to wonder when I hear people talk about anxiety, if actually... In a more modern day education situation, there might have been a bit better language, or somebody might have pulled me to the side and been like, "Hey, I think there might be some stuff going on with you." Now, in saying that, I'm glad that I wasn't like medicated, you know, and I'm glad that you know, I struggle with like how quick they are to sort of medicate kids. And I guess that's a judgment on my behalf. But again, I say it without any sense of authority. You know, I have a resistance to that. And let me just make sure before anybody gets offended, I'm not talking about antidepressants or anything like that. I'm not judging anybody that takes anything. You know, I just want everyone to do what they think is best for themselves. You know, and I guess, you know, probably in hindsight, they would probably diagnose me with ADHD. But I wasn't diagnosed with that either. And then, you know, 12 to 14, I was like, a bit of a tearaway. And the next thing, I was in Ireland. You know, so like, I wonder sometimes if actually, like, you know, there might have been ways where if I had been maybe looked after, everything mightn't have escalated as fast as it did. But then who knows, you know? Who knows? But I tell you one thing I know for sure. When I read about anxiety, I definitely can see that my mother was really struggled with anxiety disorder. And again, I'm not blaming her for my anxiety disorder, you know, but I guess it's just in our family. But you know, there was just like a lot of unnecessary stress, you know, and now in adulthood, I can see it, you know, it's like, is this situation really, does it really require as much energy that as is running around my body as there is, or is this like a condition, you know? And you know, when I finally stopped drinking and taking drugs. And by the way, I'm not saying I was self-medicating on my, I think it's way more complicated than that, you know, and I can't break down my entire life and every fucking emotional problem I've ever had on this podcast sitting here on my own. But when I finally got a bit of like emotional stability in my life, the one overriding thing was, wow, I'm not stressed all the time. Like that's what I remember from, that's one of the great epiphanies that I had, you know, and it was great to get that peace. Now, you know, I would also say that I don't have that same amount of peace nowadays only because, you know, in those early years, all I did was sort of like semi go to college and sort of full time work on myself, quote unquote, work on myself, meditate, go to Dzogchen Bera, go to like the Buddhist retreat center in Alahis in West Cork, hang out with my non-drinking, non-using buddies and fucking talk about how we could better ourselves as human beings. I mean, we literally like lived in some sort of like mobile monastery in Cork City, you know? And, you know, we kind of pushed each other to like become some sort of like spiritual guru set. You know, I mean, we were in complete denial about some of our other behavior, you know, in terms of like going out and bad relationships and different things. But it worked. You know, in my late adolescence, early 20s, I definitely found like a peace that I had never had in my life before. And I guess some of that is just growing up. But anyway, long story short, I was curious to examine almost for myself. I like talking to myself about whether, you know, all this chat about anxiety is a good thing to sort of jump on. I mean, I've gone to like loads of therapists in my time at various different stages for various different reasons. And none of them really, I feel like the sort of anxiety, the explosion of the word anxiety has sort of happened since my last sojourn into therapy, which was 2008, you know? So it's been 10 years since I really had a good go at any sort of talking to somebody and trying to be honest and trying to sort of change my behavior. Maybe it's overdue. Not that I consider this microphone to be a therapist. But anyway, I definitely can feel it in me nowadays. I'll give you an example. Maybe some people who like struggle with this can identify with this one. Whether I did this TV show a year and a half ago called This Is Ireland. And, you know, the sort of the remit was to tackle sort of difficult issues in a funny way, in a sort of John Oliver style show with, you know, 0.1% of John Oliver's budget. But anyway, it was quite stressful. And it was just myself and another guy writing it. and RTE gave us 45-minute episodes instead of half-hour episodes, with a sort of a sliver of a John Oliver slash Daily Show budget, we actually had to produce 15 more minutes an episode, and so it was unbelievably stressful. But that type of stress I can handle. But one of the issues we decided to take on, which I thought was important. Now, people can agree or disagree with the HPV vaccine and its negative effects or positive effects. I'm not interested in getting into that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That debate today, I've had that debate many times. That's not what I'm talking about now. What I'm talking about now is that in taking that on as an issue, it became very heated because some people have very passionate opinions about that. And some people genuinely believe that it's making their families sick. So that's a difficult dilemma to tackle an issue where some people really believe that it's making their family sick. And other people really believe that it's an incredible advancement in medicine and can decrease cervical cancer in women in the future. So you have this like major dilemma of, you just have a dilemma of like, how the fuck do you deal with this? And then you say, well, let's not deal with it. But then there was a prime time on it, and it really put the issue front and center. And we decided, well, I certainly was passionate about it because I'm a cancer survivor. So I was like, come on, like this is a real thing that we need to talk about. And, there was elements of the way people were campaigning against the HPV vaccine that seemed to have a lot of connections with anti-vaccine groups. So you find yourself thinking this is a real subject. Now, of course, you take the risk of being completely wrong, and you know that'll be on me one day if it turned out that I was completely wrong. But needless to say, I was fucking stressed out of my mind, and I was literally paralyzed with anxiety. I remember lying in my bed, and I could feel it in my ankles. I could feel it in my legs. And it was the first time. This was actually the beginning of me realizing that I think I might have some sort of problem with anxiety, because I can't remember if I Googled anxiety or if I Googled so much stress that I feel it in my legs or something like that, you know? But I remember it was the first time that I looked up symptoms of anxiety. It came up at that time. That was the beginning of me going, holy shit, I think I have a fucking anxiety disorder. And it was all there, you know, and I could see that it was connected to adrenaline and, just this fucking whatever it is running around your body, you know. And I haven't looked into it that much more since then. I'm not doing this podcast to speak as an expert on anxiety. I'm actually doing it to just sort of further my own understanding by, you know, like vocalizing it or sort of verbalizing some of the things. But yeah, you can I couldn't shake this feeling in my legs and like in my, just my body in general. It was like fucking acid, like a poison. And I was in Rialto, and I was like, I remember it was suggesting like breathing and walking. And I went for a walk at one stage just to try to like, I just thought, Jesus Christ, can motion just like fucking get rid of this sensation? And nothing was working. And, you know, and then it goes up into your head, and then your head starts doing tricks on you, and like literally, and this is a thing that I sort of have dealt with my whole life. It ends up spiraling in your brain to a sense, a feeling that everything's about to disappear, or everything is about to be destroyed. You know, whether it's your career or your relationship, or, you know, like literally I feel like it's going to go real bad. You know, like end of the world shit for me. I'm not talking about suicide. I have no desire to end things, but I do feel like, oh God, here it comes, you know, whatever. Here comes impending doom. That's it. Doom. An unbelievable sense of doom. But it does pass. It can be all consuming, like at times, you know? I mean, I remember having it another time, but this is before I was aware of like that this might be some sort of like extreme anxiety. And I can't remember what the scenario was, but I something was bothering me. Intensely, I think it might have had something to do with a major breakup. So, in fairness, it was like it was a stressful time. But I remember being on stage in Galway, and I was in the Town Hall Theater. I distinctly remember it, and in the middle of the show, like the show was going great, and of course, I was loving it. And I remember having a thought to myself in the midst of my performance. How weird is this? That this is the only time in the last couple of days that you've gotten peace. Like it was literally because I guess the endorphins of the show and the energy. I hadn't had a break from my fucking brain for so long that like suddenly it hit me like, wow, how screwed up are you that you're like the only time you're normal is in what for most people would be the most stressful situation possible, talking in front of other people. You'll literally just get like an hour, like a little break, you know, a little break from your fucking brain. So anyway, those are just two quick examples. And as I speak out loud, I can see that it's probably not that normal, but I hope some people are listening and go, oh, I get like that. You know, because I don't think I'm abnormal. At the same time, I definitely get these like extreme emotions. You know, and I don't think comedy is like the ideal life for it. But what are you going to do? That's the trade-off, I guess. You know, pros and cons. I mean, I've chatted about it with my mother. Like so from that, I sort of mentioned it to my mother. Like, yo, I think maybe. Part of what you didn't realize was going on was you have like extreme anxiety disorder. And funnily enough, I mean, she went with that completely. And it seems to have given her some relief because at least she's able to say, oh, that's why I thought I was crazy my whole life, you know? And I don't know if it's just like hereditary or if it's like trauma induced. You know, she had a tough childhood, like real tough, like, and you know, like, you know, proper like alcoholism, her, you know, like having to sort of pull her parents out of bars and stuff like that. And, like lived her life in fear of the next, catastrophe, which those catastrophes were like real, you know, like she had, you know, she was way too young to be having to worry about the overall well-being of her family, but that's what she had to do. And I'm sure if there's like children of, you know, people who grew up in like active alcoholism, I'm sure that you can identify with that, you know, that sense of dread. But she grew up with that. But, you know, I think she was left with it, you know, and I think she carried that dread into her adulthood. And then it just leaks out all over the place, you know? So for her, I think it's multiplied by a lot. like, I'm looking back now and going, damn, I wish I had that word. But I think for her, it's multiplied by a lot, that if she had maybe, you know, I guess if times had been different and there was a bit more sort of support / understanding of the way the mind works or mental health, that she might have got some relief or certainly some support, you know, rather than a bit late in the game, you know. But anyway, so I guess it's a positive. You know, I can sometimes be a bit dismissive, you know. I can be a bit dismissive of a labeling of emotional situations, or I can, you know, consider people to just like some, you know, so, like, don't get me wrong, I'm not one of these guys that's like, suck it up, just fucking suck it up. But I do sometimes wonder if, you know, you can just chuck a label on anything and then, like, not take responsibility for it. That's definitely a thought that's gone through my mind. So that's probably one of the reasons why I would resist putting a label. But from that day, from that thing I was telling you about in Rialto, with the way that my body felt, that was a time where I thought, wow. And the weird thing was, it was so familiar. The feeling was so familiar, you know, being paralyzed by the feelings that were in my body, that I was like, oh shit, this is what I've had. I've had this. And I didn't realize, you know, just battled through it. And I've experienced large moments of happiness throughout my life. But, you know, I definitely have carried around that sense of doom. And, you know, maybe I'm going to go and give that a whirl on tackling that a bit more head on, you know. And I wonder sometimes too, like, because I've always found myself in stressful situations. And I've always, you know, there's always this sort of a pushing the boundaries feeling to, you know, spending, and, you know, there's just like a high energy consistency throughout my life. And I wonder, does one drive the other, or are they interconnected, or, you know, years ago when I first stopped drinking, I would have said that you're running from something. That's what I would have said. I would have said clear as day that there's some shit you don't want to admit about yourself, and you're hiding. You're acting out. Your behavior is a symptom of, you know, something that you're hiding from. And while I don't completely think that's not, I don't think that's not true, I wonder sometimes if, because of that way of thinking, was I missing out on some other shit that I could have been tackling in a different way? Because I really, in those early days, I really believed that if I could sort of clear away the wreckage, you know, if I could get to the bottom of what was driving me, you know, get into the self-hatred, get into the fears, get into the insecurities, if I could get right to the sort of, right to the gut, the heart of those things, and try to heal them, you know, that suddenly I would be free. And I did that. And some of that, well, I tried to do that. And some of that, I did get some freedom, you know, from certain things. But then at the same time, you know, I wonder if that can cure all. I mean, I don't think so nowadays, you know. So then the question is, how much of it is tied up into behavior, and how much of it is tied up into the way that I'm wired? You know, how much of it is tied into, well, I guess that's behavior, but like not having enough downtime, you know, like, do you look after yourself properly? You know, how, you know, all that. It's interesting, you know, these are just questions. I don't have the answers, you know? I mean, I don't have that much more to say on it, really, you know? But you know, I know, bringing it back to the drinking, that, you know, when I started drinking so young, you know, it wasn't so much that I was dying to drink, but I guess why I was doomed with the booze and then later drugs was because I just got way too much relief and I was looking for it, you know, and I was way up in my head as a young man. You know, I had a fucking gazillion thoughts going on all the time and it shut them up, you know. And so I was doomed because, you know, I needed that relief real bad. Real bad. So of course I was going to go with it. But unfortunately, the side effects were just way too much. For me, especially. You know, other people, it's different. But for me, you know, I was a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde guy. You know, and, you know, it really did turn me into not a nice person. So I was happy to say goodbye to that. So when I stopped, I tried to deal with all these things, but it didn't. There wasn't as many labels floating about as there are today. And I also think that, you know, maybe somebody would have pulled me to the side and been like, this is what's going on for you. So maybe I'm just jealous. Maybe I'm just jealous of all these Generation Zs and all their labels. And I mean, that's it, really. I'm not going to keep going on because I feel like I know it's a bit short, but I feel like I've sort of run out of things to say, or I need somebody else to bounce it off. Hopefully somebody got something from it. I mean, maybe I should have told more examples of the way that I feel, but I'll think of something else and I'll do it again. So, I mean, this is really just a question. I think I'll call the podcast, Do I Have an Anxiety Disorder? People can make up their own minds. The last thing I'll say is that I have a weird thing where massive situations I can deal with, but like tiny situations like really make me stress like crazy, like paying a bill or organizing clothes. But like when my mother got sick or my dad was sick, my dad had cancer that time, boom, I was on it, you know, and I wasn't stressed. That's what's weird. I was actually happy, weirdly happy. Not happy my dad was sick, but just like maybe that time was like a happy time. And, you know, it was all fucking crisis management and, you know, major shit going on. And I was like on it, you know, I was on it, you know. It wasn't the same experience when my mother was sick, but that was a lot to do with like relationships with my relations. So that brought some stress. But you see, the thing was that when my dad was sick, it was just us, you know, but when my mother was sick, my dad was gone. So it was like other people. And I'm not making any judgments, but I'm just saying that those dynamics were hard to manage. So that brought its own stress, you know, and it may be that, there may have been five like-minded anxiety-ridden people all fucking driving each other crazy. So it might have been the blind leading the blind. I include myself in that. So anyway, but you know, even like, you know, my mother fell down the stairs and I had to get on a flight like 7 a.m, like boom, you know, I was in, like, I can deal with that shit like super easy. Like I'm great in a crisis, but I'm terrible when it's like, did you take out the garbage? I'll be like, Jesus Christ, I have to take out the garbage. Oh my God. What am I going to do? How am I going to take out the garbage? You know, like I can actually get riddled with a weird energy. So, that'll be it for today. Just some quick bits of news. Make comments. You know, we need to get the podcast, back up and running. So make some comments, on, you know, iTunes and stuff. Give us some stars, Snapchat, Des Buffer. Instagram at Des Bishop, facebook.com/Des Bishop. I'm in Calgary this weekend, so if you know anybody, send them down. I'm in Boston, March 1st, 2nd, 3rd. I'm in Long Island the weekend before that, like February 22nd or 23rd. I'm in like some clubs in Nassau County and Suffolk County. I'm in Carolines in New York, and then I'm in for Patrick's weekend. And then I'm in Australia for 6 weeks, Brisbane, Melbourne, Sydney, Perth. So spread the word about that. What else do I have to say? Oh, my stand-up special that I recorded for RT Player should be coming on in March. They're relaunching the RT Player. I'm waiting for an exact date, though, but it should be coming up in March. I saw Dear and Gary's stuff, you know, that went up on the player, and it was great, and it got a great response, so that made me excited for the stand-up special coming out. I mean, the player is trying to be like the Irish Netflix, so I think the special's a great special. First thing I ever produced myself, so that's coming up. So, you know, start to get people, start spreading the word about that. I think I think it's going to be like the best stand-up special that I've done since those early years of, you know, just like before I started doing too many TV shows. And that's it, man. I got to say goodbye. I got to let you go. I got to let you go, which I can't stand when people say that. You know, listen, I'll let you go because I feel like it's a displacement of responsibility. Like, you want to get off the phone, you know? And then people are like, hey, I'll let you go. It's like, no, you're getting off the phone. So just say that you want to get off the phone. Don't put it onto me. So I got to let you go, guys. You know, I'm going to have to let you go. And I hope that you have a good day wherever you are. And I'm going to get home now and edit this bad boy and get it up. Get it up. Peace.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.